Let's start off. Hey, Alex, I was wondering, since this is kind of the first time we're seeing you since Friday, do you mind? I don't mean to put you on spot. Like, do you mind just sharing a few minutes about anything you want to share? And
If you give me open mic, Arthur, that I mean, I could preach.
I said a few minutes.
I mean,
you sure you want to do
Sunday
that?
School's over. No, I'm just kidding. Regarding me, right, personally, you're not speaking about the word or anything. Well, I think most people have gotten our update. And if you haven't already, I think it's a little easier for us to communicate through the Caring Bridge website. So, I think the updates are there. Let me see. Arthur, just like a framework, right? Or
anything. We all prayed for you yesterday. For English, so we all know kind of the updates.
So I actually appreciate that because Cindy had texted me last night, and I was very deeply. I was very touched last night when she texted and said, "Hey, Alex, our fellowship, our small group was praying for you guys last night." And she shared even specifically just how people prayed and a lot of thoughts from people that brought her encouragement and the themes. Cindy's not on, so I'm just going to read it.
Oh, she is on.
Oops.
Cindy's on. I just didn't have my camera on.
Okay, sorry. She said just the things that she heard from people sharing in prayers, the common themes. It just, I think it just resonated real deeply with me. I think I'll share that, Arthur, because the text that I had written to everybody that morning, Cindy even just, I think she felt led to share Psalm 34 and 1 through 4. And I added verse 5 too, because those are deeply ingrained verses in me. And that's how I feel. I have always learned that as part of my journey. Here are the themes that Cindy showed from last night. And I didn't bawl, but I felt like I was like tearing up as I was reading it. She says, this is what she heard from brothers and sisters last night in the fellowship, which is why I think everybody should be a part of a good fellowship and a community, right? Because they opened up last night to just talk about my MRI and what is God working in our hearts and our minds through my cancer journey. So here are the themes. One, like God is powerful and that God works in ways we cannot begin to realize. We won't stop praying boldly. God is good. We know he wants to grow our faith through this. We are still hopeful. We can still expect miracles. There will be suffering, but God will be glorified. And multiple people express that they believe Alex's life has much more to live out on this earth. And many express love for Bex and the kids. And many resonated with my reaction of giving praise to God, even in the storm. Shira, I'm so thankful to God because I know it is Alex's desire that his life be used as a vessel for God's work in the church. And I know God is already using it. So, I think that was, it comes in immediately as I'm reading this too, because I think there's a new song that's out and I think it might be by Matt Mayer. I'm not sure who it's by, but it says, Christ be magnified, Christ be magnified. And, when I was reading this last night, and even today, I don't feel as comfortable making much of myself in this, which I think I've had a tendency to do when I was younger, I think I kept thinking, like, just Christ be magnified in this, you know. Like, I guess that's just my heart's desire, you know. It's like beyond living or dying, because in Christ we already have life, you know. I just pray that lives would be given over, Christ be magnified. It would just be a resonating, like, wake-up call for everyone. I think that's what God is always doing, trying to, like, shake up his children to, like, wake us up to his heart and the things that, like, matter the most to him. So I guess Arthur, you know, kind of put me on the spot, which I'm okay with. Thank you for doing that. But I guess that's the first thing that I thought of, was like Cindy's text last night and just that Christ would be magnified in this, in my life. You know, I don't care so much that people think about me and but I think that's natural that people think of me and Bex and the kids. When I talked to my parents, my mom said her first reaction getting my text, like, she couldn't call us or text us or talk to us. I think she just cried for an hour. And she thought about, you know, obviously, I think it's her son. And she's thinking about her grandkids. And I think that's natural for us to feel that way. I pray so much that Christ be magnified in this, that we would see Jesus through all aspects of this, you know. And that it would stir in us to have our own lives, like, just aligned, you know, with God and his purposes. So, Arthur, you gotta just stop me, because, man, bro, I could just keep, you know, I could go. I'll just stop there. But I love you guys. Love knowing that you guys pray. A lot of the texts, I can't always get to, like, replying to everybody, but, like, not that I'm, like, that popular, but I think sometimes, like, Bex and I are really trying to keep, like, boundaries for our family and our kids, and I don't always want to be, like, on my phone, on my device with my kids, so sometimes I just shut everything down and let us, like, enjoy, like, kids' time, that, you know, like, family time together. But, like, your texts and stuff, I think have been a big, like, uplifting for Bex and I. Thanks for letting me share a bit, because I know it's, like, still pretty, it's a pretty heavy duty.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, thank you for sharing. Let me pray for us as we get started for some people. Dear Lord Jesus, I just want to start this morning just praising you for who you are, your love for us, Lord, and just with Pastor Alex sharing, Lord, you will be magnified in this church, in this world, Lord. It's a guarantee, Lord, and so all things are done for your glorification, Lord, even difficult things, Lord, and so we trust you, Lord. Lord, we just want to express just our love to Pastor Alex and to Bex and to the Liu family, Lord, and just for healing, Lord, for peace, Lord, for good family times, for just an assurance, Lord, that you are in control in all things, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray as we go through this Sunday school that we continue to just find ways to magnify you in the world, in our lives, amongst our coworkers, family members, in all things, Lord, the good and the bad, Lord. And we just thank you for this opportunity. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, class. So today we're going to finish up that map activity we did. This was like almost a month ago, so I don't know if you remember. We'll do that, and we'll finish up the send portion of the ways, and we'll go into the go. Okay, so I think we're now on the fourth way, right? We did learn, we did pray, send, and now we're gonna talk about go. Okay, so let me share this PowerPoint.
On Arthur, if I could just share a quick thing about the homework. I loved to read all the responses. It's pretty like radical to like hear all the responses from people. But I agree with you. If I could remind the class as a fellow teacher, like, you don't feel compelled to like write like well or like so much as other people have, because I know that sometimes when we think about that, that's a deterrent, right? To like want to reply. It might even be more helpful to let, you know, if you're just replying to Arthur by himself first, and then he could share it if he wants to, you know, just so it doesn't feel like the whole class, you know. I think we all get that sometimes, right? It's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to write? And it's going to sound so stupid compared to, you know, what like other people wrote, and they wrote something with so much. Just like, I think what you said, Arthur, was just write a few sentences. and I'll bet you that everybody has something that they've been working on. It's just probably harder to share. So just want to like throw that out there to the class, you know?
Right. No, thank you for that.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, oh, I could write some, you know, I could really like, you know, spend time on it, but I kind of wanted to just let it be, you know, just like three sentences and something simple, because I know a lot of people are like taking steps. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. Yeah. Don't let the first few, like if people share a lot, that's great. Don't feel you have to compare yourself with that. Just a few sentences, you know, we just want to hear what's going on. So yes, thank you for that. Okay. So let me, can you guys see my screen? Yes. Okay, great. Okay. So the problem with sharing PowerPoint is that I can only see like three of you. So let me know if something goes wrong. And is it, can you see it transcribing at the bottom? Okay, is there a way to turn that off?
That's from you because you're the host.
That's actually really cool. Like, can I do that? Like, can it translate my speech into Chinese? I think we tried that before.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll figure out later. So sorry if it mistranslates anything, but okay. So I'll just let it go. But here's a map of the 1040 window. Okay. And so Frank introduced this to us. I have the 1040 window highlighted. What the 1040 window is, it's 10 degrees north latitude of the equator and up to 40 degrees latitude. Okay. And this area of North Africa, Middle East, Asia is an area where there's a lot of unreached people. Okay. So if you remember our map activities, here's that 1040 window. And then Frank also took a picture of our map activity where we placed like where we would send missionaries. And actually, if you look at it, we did really well.
We're rocking it, guys.
Yeah.
That was rocking it.
Right. I didn't try to like force you into any one area, right? This is, you guys came up on here and you can see this area here. It's the 1040 window, right? With the exception of Hawaii over here, like you guys did pretty well. And we said that was like for you know, missionaries need vacations, right? So that's the only thing. Okay, so that was really good. Okay. But I wanted to finish up the map. Kind of this information displays it in a different way. The red is the number, and how big the red circle is the number of non-Christians in the world, right? And you can see, you know, some of the biggest areas are here, India, China, Pakistan, basically the 1040 window, right? But this is kind of numerically in proportion with the number of people, right? Okay. So 95% of unreached people groups live in the 1040 window. Okay, so we did a kind of a, I showed you a video, and it may not have expressed that sentiment exactly, you know, but, you know, a huge amount, I mean, most of unreached people groups live in this 1040 window, 95%. Okay, that's why we focus on the 1040 window. Here is a map of church income, meaning how much money has the church taken in from these places. Okay, and now you can see that this area is pretty much white, and that may be because there aren't any churches, right? So there are no churches, like they don't have income. Okay, but on another fact is that 90% of the world's poorest people live in the 1040 window. Okay, so there, yes, there could be no churches, but they're also, if they had churches, they're probably one of the poorest, because this region is very poor, right? Okay, so Eastern China, you can see it's pretty green, right? There's quite a few Christians and, you know, pretty well-off Christians here, okay? Okay, but again, 1040 window. Okay, so this is a map in purple of where we actually send our missionaries, right? And so you can see we send a lot to, you know, Americas, you know, South Africa, Europe, you know, some Asia, but you can see that the Middle East, North Africa, like really tiny dots. Okay. And in that video, it had explained that, you know, of all the missionaries we send out in the world, cross-cultural missionaries, only 3% go to the unreached, right? And so this is a map of where we actually send our missionaries. 3% actually go to unreached areas, okay? And now I've kind of overlaid the where we send and where the need is, okay? And you can see in red, that's the need, and the purple is where we send. Okay, and you can see this mismatch, right? It's like almost as if we sent our missionaries and we avoided the 1040 window specifically, right? You can see where we send, where the need is, right? Like it's just not proportional at all, right? So I wanted to show that graphically, okay? But to have the question is, why is there, to open it up to everyone, why is there this great imbalance? So David Platt calls this the great imbalance. Like, I want to open it up, like, why do you think, there's no one answer, there's multiple reasons, but why do you think, if you can give one reason, why you think there could be this great imbalance here?
Risk.
Okay. Is that Lily?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So why is it risky?
Safety risk. Like a lot of those places are Muslim, or they have another religion that hinders the spread of the gospel, and they may have very strong reaction against people sharing the gospel. So missionaries may not last very long when they go there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Right. Other reasons?
Yeah, people are misinformed, uninformed. I shouldn't use the word ignorant, but they don't know about the cultures that are involved and that the current religions are present in those countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the lack of education. Mm-hmm. The only reason we're having our Sunday school, and I think it's great. Maybe just the lack of information, lack of knowledge, all these areas.
Right. I think when we're doing the map activity, someone said that we tend to send people to places we kind of know, right? Like we have a connection with, right? And so if we don't know these areas that there's such a need, like you said, Scott, or like we don't know people in these regions, then we tend not to send people there, right? We're unfamiliar with that need. Yes. Any other reasons?
Are you talking about like short-term missionaries or long-term missionaries?
Because I think this is a map of long-term missionaries.
Okay. I mean, I think it'd be similar. So the reason I would have said for short-term is because nobody wants to go there short-term, you know? Like, that's just too much to do. But I think even for long-term, I think it's just so hard to get in that they just decide to go somewhere that they're sure they can get into.
Right.
Make it a little easier for themselves.
Okay. So why is it hard to get in? More specifically,
I think similar to what Lily said, like partially just the government or like the I guess current religion over there.
Mm-hmm.
As you saw in the one of those videos before, but some places are just hard to like physically reach as well, right? Like it's just not developed and you just can't get there.
Right. Okay. So great. So government, they don't allow you to come, specifically for missions reason, religion, just the physical terrain, physically it's hard to get there. Yes. Great. Any other reasons?
Yes. It could be a vicious cycle because we don't have local support or churches there. We don't go there. The short-term mission trips I've been to, we always connected with the local support, such as churches or centers, Christian centers.
Right.
So if you don't have that, you don't know where to start.
Okay. That's a good point, right? That's a good point, right? How do we center in areas, particularly even a short-term team, even let's say long-term team, like how do you send, you know, one or two Christians, missionaries to these places when they have no support there, you know, there's no church there, there's nothing. That's gotta be hard, particularly if you're thinking about sending a family as a long-term, how do you support that family from so far distance? Yeah. Great. Anything else? Oh, okay. Keep on thinking about this. There's many reasons, okay? But I want to suggest to you today that one of the main reasons is, how should I say this nicely? I guess I can't say it nicely, right? Is disobedience, okay? And so I want to look at the Great Commission again. Frank brought this up a few weeks ago, and we started looking at this. I want to look at it in a little bit more detail, okay? So you're very familiar with this. This is what Jesus says right before this is after he's risen, and he says this to the people who've gathered there and right before he ascends, right? Okay, I'll just read it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, so I want to just go through this and just share with you, like, I think ways that we have actually disobeyed this, okay? You know, now this is, I hope you don't take it as a condemnation. This is like for all of us, you know, and this is not that we disagree with what Jesus said. It's more that how do our lives show that we don't follow this? Okay. So just, I think you'll see what I mean. Okay. So therefore go. Okay. So we actually interpret that as stay. Okay, because our default position is let's stay, and if I have a special calling, then I will go, okay? But Jesus doesn't make that distinction, right? He says to everyone gathered there, to all his disciples, everyone who recognizes him is go, therefore go, right? But we've made it into, you need to be super special Christian to go, right? Our default is stay, right? That's what we think God is asking us to do. Stay, do all the other things here, but go is only for a few people, okay? And I'm not saying that, you know, everyone needs to go or even majority needs to go, but clearly, if you look at the map, we are not sending people to places of need, right? So there are more of us that should go, in fact, but we're actually staying, okay? So we'll continue on. And make disciples, okay? We talked about this. Frank brought this up, is like the difference between believers and disciples. I do want to make that distinction, is that oftentimes we're content to just make believers. Like if you're saying, well, like we want to evangelize, yes, we want people, our family members to come to believe, you know, but we're just a little bit content to like, if they just say the right prayer, if they just come to church, then they're good, okay? No, but God says no. Jesus says make disciples, right? Disciples is a different kind of thing. It's like disciples do the thing that Jesus does, right? They're not just, okay, I'm coming to church and I just agree with everything that the church believes, right? So it's not just a believer, but a disciple, okay? And then we say of all nations. We don't really believe all nations, right? We say in our nation, like a lot of people have said throughout the years is like, don't we have needs in our nation? Like, shouldn't we concentrate on our nation? Because there are tons of needs. And for sure, there are tons of needs. But actually, that's actually not obeying what Jesus said. He says all nations, right? He didn't say some nations. And he certainly didn't say our nation, right? Or the nation of Israel, right? He says all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in baptism. I don't think that's an issue. But the Holy Spirit, okay, we talk about the Holy Spirit, okay? But do we actually, like, really expect the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Okay, that's a different, we talk a lot about the Father God, and we pray to God, of course. And obviously we know about the Son and we love the Son. We know he's tangible in one sense, right? But the action of the Holy Spirit, which is actually, we'll see later, is to empower us to witness. We don't really talk about that as much, right? And so, and teaching them to obey, okay, instead of obey, that's kind of a strong word. We just agree with, like, as long as we agree with these things, then that's good enough. Right. But actually doing what Jesus says, that's, we don't really do that. Right. In a lot of cases. Okay. Me included. Okay. Agree with everything is too much to, what about most of the things that the Bible says, like, we just want to, like, the things that we agree with, we'll do. Right. But things that we're questionable about, we don't necessarily disagree with it. We just, like, don't emphasize it. Okay, and so that's how we kind of get away with some of these things. And it says, I'm teaching you to obey everything I have commanded you. Again, that's too strong. Maybe the Bible is just recommending us to do it. Okay, not actually commanding us. There's no penalty if you don't believe, if you don't do it, right? It's just that you may not experience God's fullness, but if you don't do it, there's no consequence. Actually, no, it says, I commanded you, right? And surely, maybe probably, you know, I don't, in this day and age, it's like, oh, I'm not, how can you be sure about anything, right? Oh, it's probably, okay. I'm with you always, okay? Or when you feel it, right? To the very end of the age, right? So in this way, you can see that when we actually take God's commission, Great Commission, we understand it, we agree with it, but do we actually do it? And this is like, you know, when I put all these red things, like no one would agree with anything I put up here, right? I mean, this is just like, you know, this is how we mutilate God's word, okay? Not necessarily in our thoughts or beliefs, but in our actions, okay? And so I want to put that there. I know it can be a little strong, but I think this is true for the Western church, okay?
Hey, Arthur, can I ask you something?
Yes.
This sounds pretty radical, mm-hmm. rather more, you know, beyond strong, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's wrong, but but it sounds like that's what the world that's what the word is teaching. It's quite radical, right? Mm-hmm. I have no answer for that. But I'm just kind of expressing my thought, and it's amazing for, but as you read more of the gospel and you read Jesus' sayings, all of it seems very radical. We certainly have unintentionally, you use the word mutilated, but you know, I guess watered down or softened it up, made it very comforting for Sunday goers, right? Church goers. So yeah, that I just want to express that. That is a radical message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Any other reactions? And just commenting on Frank, yeah. Actually, when we read more and more of even what Jesus says, like his sermons and what his teachings, and you may think it is, I agree, it's very radical. It's like, actually, if we read it with the intention of obeying, then it comes very radical, right? Because if we read it with the intention of agreeing with, and then we could say, oh yeah, great, I totally agree with that. I like see it, like, okay. I can 100% sign on, but if actually were to do it, wow, that's different, right?
Yeah. I don't know what to do with that. And I think a lot of people may, when you encounter this, we don't know what to do with it, except to say, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree that Jesus is the Son of God. I agree that he's on the road of suffering, and his disciples are no greater than the master, right? And we suffer with him, but to suffer as he has called, I'm not sure. In a society where we do everything to build up comfort, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's a bigger conversation, Arthur. I don't know if that's the direction you want to go, but I'm just thinking out loud. That's all. Sorry.
Oh, and there's no direction, just your reaction to it. Yes. Okay. Keep on thinking. We'll come back to this. Okay. So what is God's purpose for Christians and for the church? Okay. I want to look at two verses, one that we've looked at before, but I want to look at it a little more in detail, and let me know what you think. Okay, so Acts chapter 1, this is again one of the last things that Jesus tells to his disciples. Okay, and this is right before he ascends, and then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So he, being Jesus, said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so I want to look at this more closely and ask you guys, there's at least three misconceptions that what the disciples have asked actually betray. Like there's three misconceptions that the disciples have that Jesus is actually correcting. What can anyone think of, just shout out one or two, or what misconceptions might the disciples have when they ask Jesus this?
I think like one is when they ask, like, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? So looking to Christ, right? He's the Savior, Messiah. So he's going to do all the work, right? And we won't be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Number one, right? The disciple says, Lord, are you at this time going to do this, right? Well, what did Jesus say? in verse 8, it says, no, but you, meaning the disciples, you will receive my power and you will be my witnesses, right? So it's not obviously Jesus is with us and he promises that, and the Holy Spirit is empowering us, but actually the main work is turned on us, right? Right. Other misconceptions.
I think the disciples were a bit confused at that time. They think Jesus was going to restore the physical kingdom of Israel against the Roman Empire. And, you know, basically waging war and winning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And restoring the land, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, perfect, right? Kingdom to Israel. Restore the kingdom, the physical kingdom, you know, Israel's place in the world, all that, right? But instead, what does Jesus say? He's saying, no, I'm not restoring necessarily the kingdom to Israel. No, I'm asking you to go out and restore my kingdom in the world. Right? Like one is like, come restore to here to for us. One is going out and restoring God's kingdom in the world. Right? It's totally different in that respect. Right. There's at least one more. What are the, if you look at the disciples' question, what are they most concerned about? One of the things that they're most concerned about.
There's a timing issue here.
Yes. Time, right? And that is that no different from us? Like we're so concerned with like, when are you going to make this happen? When, right? But Jesus is not saying when, right? He's actually downplaying the when and saying, this is my task. I'm more concerned about the task, the mission, rather than a specific time frame, right? But we want it to be done. We wanted to know ahead of time when this is going to be done. But Jesus, you know, and the proof of this is that we're still waiting 2,000 years, right? Is Jesus so concerned about the timing that it has to be done? So we're not just concerned with the timing. We want it to be done soon, right? But Jesus is not saying the Father is like, well, I've waited 2,000 years, right? And time doesn't seem to be, according to our time frame, until the task is done. And I want to look at this one verse because actually Jesus does say when the time will be done. Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with this verse, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So actually Jesus is saying he is giving a time, right? Not a specific time and date, but this time, this end will come. I will come back when the task is completed, right? When the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. That's when I will come back, right? So he actually does answer our time question, you know, maybe not to the way we want it, but he emphasizes the task, the mission to be done. Any reactions to this?
You know, I think the first, can you hear me, Arthur?
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the first things that the class observed is something I think is really tricky in the church. You know, there's something that I've observed in people's prayers sometimes, even when they pray, there's a certain language that says, like, I can't do anything, you know? Lord, this is all you, you know, it's got to be all you. And I think that there's there's a, that's not bad. That's not entirely wrong, but it's not entirely right. You know, I think when we think of spiritual matters and we think of spiritual purposes, I don't even know if we think of spiritual purpose very often, but even when we think about the work of the church or the, you know, spiritual work in the world, we sometimes bank too much on God. It's all you, you know, what can I do? You know, like I'm nothing. I literally have this phrase like locked, burned into my mind when I hear Chinese people pray it, you know, they say like, oh, what's some of the, you know, like I'm nothing. What's some of the void? So I can't do anything. Lord, it's all you. Well, you know, I think there are elements of truth to that, but that really puts a restraint, I think, on how God created us to co-work with him and to co-reign with him and to co-labor with him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's a rich enough theology of how God loves us to be aligned with him, to work, you know, kind of like, I think of maybe, these pictures when I was young, when I was a little boy and these pictures of me working with my dad in the yard, right, when he's doing something and, you know, we're both sweaty, we're, you know, we both got dirt in our hands and I think of the moments when CJ or my kids come and work with me on something and just how much, you know, we have photos of that, you know, the kids doing some woodworking with me and or working in the yard with me and how much pleasure that brings to me, right? To let my kids have a part in what we do around the house or what we do. And even to the point where Bex and I have COVID, you know, a week ago and we're quarantined upstairs and you could just hear the hustle and bustle and the noise and the laughter as the kids are screaming at each other, but they're cleaning the tables, they're washing the dishes, they're doing the laundry, they're doing everything. And kind of this sense of pride that Bex and I have, right? That they actually are contributing, they're contributing to the cause of the household, right? And so I think we miss that theology, I think, like in a big way, that God created us and made us to work together with him. And so when he's now like leading us into this kingdom type living to help other people be worshipers of Yahweh, to hear the name of Jesus, we kind of relegate that, like you said, to like the super Christians or to certain types of Christians. And I think your word was very strong in terms of disobedience of the Great Commission. But that's because I don't think it's intentional disobedience. I think it's like, I don't really find it believable that God needs me. Because we also say God doesn't need anything. Which is also true. He doesn't need, but he chooses to want to co-labor with us, right? So I don't think it's like I was even thinking, would the great imbalance be called the great disobedience? I think that's kind of like what Frank is very sensitive to. He would say that's very harsh language. Mm-hmm. Like he would say that to me, Alex, that's very abrasive type language. Mm-hmm. He's more anti-abrasive language, but I don't even think it'd be like the great disobedience. I think it's the great disbelief. Mm-hmm. It's a great disbelief that God loves, his plan is to unfold through us. And it's hard to believe that we're critical to God's mission. It's very hard to believe that. Mm-hmm. And then to, maybe it's also a great dislove, you know, because we don't love the things of God as much as we would, right? Because if we did and we believed it, I think it'd be easier to be all in, you know? So anyways, those are just some thoughts.
Great. So now I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask us all to pretend that God has called each of you to go as a missionary to work cross-culturally. Okay, so can you pretend you have a strong calling, okay, you're gonna send out, okay, where would you feel like God is sending you? Okay, so either you can unmute, if you have it right away, just shout it out, or you can chat it. Like, where would God be sent? Where do you think God would be sending you? Like, and there's no right or wrong answer, except Hawaii. Don't put Hawaii, you know, but, you know, but.
That's not right, Arthur. That's a harsh question.
Yeah. Is it harsh?
No, I'm kidding. Good question.
Next set up.
Good question. Where, Ireland? Is that what she said?
Upland.
Oh, Upland.
Oh, okay.
So she's a stay.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a wrong answer. That's not a wrong answer.
Yeah. No, that's not. Upland needs some help for sure.
But let's just say you had no concerns, like no barriers. Like, where would?
Oh no.
And I want everyone to answer. So either shout it out or chat. Put it in the chat box.
So say China.
It could be Africa. Okay. I never thought of going there, but from yesterday. Oh, last night, there's an urgency for.
Okay, Africa. Okay. It could be a country, it could be a region, it could be a people group, it could be, I don't know, like, that's up for you to define.
There's no barriers?
No barriers. You'll go wherever.
In Japan.
Japan, great. Mm-hmm. Right, you did your unreached people group in Japan, I remember. Yeah.
Malaysia,
okay. Where?
Yay, Mabel.
Where is that?
Mabel. She said, "Yay, Mabel." I said, "Yay, Mabel." For yay, me, Lily, I would be Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia, okay.
Thailand, Vietnam.
Vietnam. Mm-hmm.
Vietnam.
That's at Canada. Okay. Yeah. Then you ask for how long, let's say the rest of your life. But you're willing to do that. Let's just pretend that's not an issue.
You're willing.
Okay. Great. So I want us actually to break us, Daniel, if you can break us up into breakout groups, 2 to 3, for about 8 minutes. Okay. And I want you to share again what country, okay, why maybe, and then what personal barriers would you have? Okay, let's say if Daniel, it was for you for Japan, why, what, name just one personal barrier you would have to going there, to serving long-term. So we'll do that for 8 minutes, we'll come back, and then we'll wrap it up, okay? Okay, welcome back. Hey, I hope that was a fruitful time, kind of like the possibilities, right? But there are real barriers, right? There are some things that we hold on to that, and you know, I guess I'll share this. It's like, it's so painful for me sometimes. Like, I want this, I want to God work in my life. I want to be like on fire. I want to like do everything that God asks, like complete obedience. But like, I'm always sad, like when I feel like I'm holding on to this and I won't let it go. Like there's a barrier that I just like, God, somehow I don't trust. I want to trust you more and more, but I don't. And it saddens me, you know? But you know, I want us to think about those things. So I wanted to, we're gonna go a little over. I'm gonna share a 5-minute video on, we've kind of talked about the barriers of going and the different reasons why we shouldn't. But I wanna share this video to show like the joys of going. Okay, the joys of going. Okay, so let me share this. Let me do this. Okay, share screen. Okay.
Darana nundi yuda ibna gigib memero. Dara memero kum. Pok yonang na nundi gereke omulatlam siyang wenena. Memero puku wenena op kemelama. Do wene ani si ani yak lem la buka nun babi elu lama. Pok memero kum ni omulatlam siyang wenena. Omui nun babi ket sepo. Seni lima po. Sumni ni wenena nundi yubu nisin. Mati yut sampe wahyu. Gigib tangkal wenena. Wera yok simna.
Ingin upni wenena, nane imiung kiblam nuna boga, nayo kumbo neri masyarakat, imiung mabo ni sinap, ni sin imiung se ingin ulam upti, nabe ingin ulam niyung, neri igil ne kigip lawa biu pertanyaan lama apa rosengena, dan ingin lam nung nene kene kigip besarok pesingding kayo.
Ane meyong dunia but nane tak siwa nungi yang upsir nundi alkitab atau wapti ambusin ban nundi buat apa tapi meyong di ular upne di sini nundi buat apa nuna nian kanga tu topa.
Siapa ane soni mina, meyong di ibu gimya ibu rahim memeru bangge nundi sari doa bepi wenena nundi mabu muk mabak depsi apa ti nuna malu kal jungu kap sumatu kap wenena nundi ibu rahim nene ke salba hepto. Tinu di mabak rot siapa? Sik tina sik telim sik mabak anege. Om bata balam sik ba. Sik ab nuna pun asun. Ima sa wingu ab sembia sik ba peminyang.
Ab nak telim na. Sumnen. Emi yang nane yang apa? Iplam na. Anse. Di mana dia ayu nene ke lak dek ni ya? Di mana dia nene ke na? wene ya ko de bla di mande ya ne na de la ko bua sampai ko ko prakna orumula.
Okay, so I know we're over, so how about we pray, a few people want to pray, and then I can close for us. And then I know we don't, most of us are still staying online, so if you want to stay behind to just share a little bit, that's great, but let's have a few people pray and then I'll close for us.
Father God, thank you for today's Sunday school. Lord, thank you for gathering us here through technology that we can worship you in the knowledge of the Almighty God, but also in truth and as a spiritual family. Lord, just seeing this video that Brother Arthur shared, seeing the joy that these fellow believers have to just be able to read your word, you know, in their own lives. It brings such joy to my eyes, Lord. It makes me personally think of, in our lives, Lord, where is the value of your word in our lives among all our technological advances and blessings we have here, Lord, that do we still reflect and receive such joy in your words, Lord. I pray for all of us here that as we go through this journey of learning about your heart for the lost, Lord, your heart for the unreached people, that we ourselves may be able to ask you, engage you in this area, that we may not always know, you know, the next step. We may not always know what to do, or even in our own current situation, you know, like maybe we don't have that desire. But Lord, I just pray that your spirit will work in us, because we are your children, Lord, that you desire to partner with us, that we will be able to experience, Lord, your miracle, miraculous work in this world. Because you chose to use your church, Lord. So I pray for our class here that as we learn more, that we will also grow in our spiritual maturity and obedience. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that we would be captured by your vision and your task and mission for us, Lord, not as a burden to us, Lord, but as Pastor Alex has said, that it would be a joy, that we would find joy in co-laboring with you, Lord, that you are on this task and you invite us to be a part of this mission, Lord, Lord, for our joy as well, Lord, that we find fulfillment in what we do, but also in just seeing people come to you, Lord Jesus, as much as we have joy when our own family comes to you, Lord. Lord, and so thank you, Lord. Thank you that not only we share in this joy of co-working with this, that we would have our inheritance in you, Lord, and that we would on that day be excited that we have participated with you during our lifetimes, Lord. Lord, and that you give us that reward. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you. I thank you for this church and this group of brothers and sisters, Lord. Would you help us? Would you be with us just like you promised, Lord? And we just thank you for this time. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.